And for some analysis of one of the busiest weeks of the 2024 presidential race so far, it's our Politics Monday team. That's Amy Walter of the Cook Political Report with Amy Walter and Tamara Keith of NPR. Hello, hello.
Hello.
So Vice President Harris's campaign launch was greeted with enthusiasm, energy, and a ton of money from Democrats, Tam. The question is, how can her campaign sustain this momentum for the next 99 days into Election Day?
Right. Well, the good news for them is that there's only 99 days until Election Day. The campaign says that they got 100 and... So sorry. You go.
$180 million, right? Something
almost
like that.
$200 million.
$200 million to do that. Look, there has been, we were talking about this before we went on air, there has been a pent-up enthusiasm among Democrats for someone, anybody, who could prosecute the case against Donald Trump. They have that now in Kamala Harris. But do you want, okay, and then I'm going to keep going. And they finally have that ability in Kamala Harris to make that case. Now, look, I think that's not the part that she has to be as concerned about right now, is keeping enthusiasm up among Democrats, because it's not as, some of it is about her, but it's really, as it's long been, about not being Donald Trump and having somebody who can make the case against Donald Trump.
One more question for you, Amy, as Tim, you recover. How you doing?
Yeah.
Working on it.
Okay. So we've seen this polling shift recently. VP Harris is within 1 point of Trump with likely voters. And this is a major improvement when you look at where President Biden was. He was behind 6 points after the debate just a month ago. Is this national shift something that we're seeing in battleground states as well?
Yeah, not as dramatic as that, but what we're seeing in some of the battleground state polls that have come out in this last week is a shift 2 to 3 points in Harris's favor, which is good news if you're Kamala Harris. But as we discussed with this enthusiasm question, the real challenge, I think, going forward for Harris isn't that she got the base consolidated. Well, actually, let me be fair. It wasn't always a given that the base would be consolidated. So in 1 week, to go from being the vice president, who maybe could be, we don't know if she's going to be able to do this, to she's now gotten the base behind her, is something that I think was surprising to a lot of people, including a lot of Republicans who are hoping for a more dramatic less unifying experience. Mm-hmm. But now she has to go the next step. So getting you 2 to 3 points or in that national poll, moving 4 or 5 points gets you in the margin, but it doesn't get her ahead. So she's got to make now the sell to the swing voters.
Got it. So we are expecting sometime in the next week for VP Harris to name her running mate. She has to do it before August 7th to get the ticket on all 50 state ballots. Who among the reported shortlist do you think boosts the Democratic ticket in those battlegrounds?
Well, it goes back to my previous point about what do you need to do with your VP candidate? Do you need to keep the base energized and excited? I don't really think so. Remember, Donald Trump's pick of Mike Pence was because he had a base problem. Evangelicals were not sold on Donald Trump. They didn't believe that he was going to follow through on many of the promises that he had made on the campaign trail. So Pence was the person to bring those voters in. Harris, I don't think, has to worry about where are Democrats going to be. Is the party unified? Instead, she needs somebody to maybe soften the edges of her record. Now, look, we're hearing President Trump on the former President Trump on the campaign trail, Republicans who are running down ballot, attacking her as somebody who's way, way, way to the left. I think Trump called her the most liberal person who's ever run for president. So getting somebody who's more of a centrist is what I think becomes more critical, which puts a lot of those names like Mark Kelly and Josh Shapiro in the mix.
Well, let's talk about Donald Trump's selection of J.D. Vance, because J.D. Vance is getting a lot of scrutiny now for his controversial comments about women without children. He called them childless cat ladies, said they're miserable with their own lives. He said this years ago while he was running for the Ohio Senate seat.
Right.
But he has not disavowed the comments, and he said in a podcast just the other day that he stands by the substance of what he said. There are lots of Democrats now who are more than happy to target J.D. Vance, including the Senate Minority Leader, Chuck Schumer.
Vance seems to be more erratic and more extreme than President Trump. And I'll bet President Trump is sitting there scratching his head and wondering, why did I pick this guy? the choice may be one of the best things he ever did for Democrats.
And Chuck Schumer, we should say, is the majority leader. I have a lot in my head at the moment. So I was trying to think, what year is this? Who actually controls the Senate? In any case, has J.D. Vance, how you doing, Tam?
I think I'm better.
All right, there we go.
Warm water with the cold water, and we're going to make it.
You know, our viewers were concerned. So. Has J.D. Vance become a liability for Republicans?
He has had a really terrible, no good week. He has somehow galvanized people who own cats. I covered Harris at this fundraiser she went to. There were people outside of her fundraiser holding up signs that said "Cat Ladies for Kamala Harris." This is after essentially, he has a long file of things that he has said back when it didn't matter what he said because he wasn't going to be vice president. He was the author of a book and a guy running for the Senate in a Republican primary. And so at one point he had said that, people who, I think he called Harris a woman without children, a cat lady, and others who don't have children who should somehow have less political power than those who do. And that just set people off. Now, maybe those people were never going to vote for Trump. But generally speaking, with your vice presidential pick, you either want it to be additive or you want it to be a wash. You don't want it to be negative. And what Trump now has is voters, everyone, the media, very focused on Vice President Harris and this huge amount of fundraising she had. And then all the remaining oxygen is going to his vice presidential pick and his very bad, no good week and all the crazy things he's saying or said 5 years ago that have now become memes.
Yeah. And it allows Democrats to settle on this new messaging where it's not just offensive, it's also really weird. We keep hearing like Democrats like Tim Walz and Brian Schatz and even Vice President Kamala Harris has said on the stump that the things that Trump and Vance and other Republicans have said are just weird. Dissect that as a strategy.
Yeah. Well, we talked about this so much when we were at the convention together, Jeff. Like, his pick of J.D. Vance was a sign of supreme confidence. Like, we got this in the bag. We don't need to reach out to swing voters. I'm not really worried about those because we're winning. And he wasn't put on the ticket to make up for some deficits that Trump may have or to win over new voters. He was put on as an additive onto Trump. And so, of course, he's turned off swing voters because he was never brought on to appeal to swing voters, and he's never had to. Remember, his race in Ohio, this is a race he did win pretty handily, and yet, for a state as Republican as that, he didn't have to ever kind of tack to the middle, and he did not win by as big of a percentage as given, where the state is, as he could have or should have.
Tim, earlier we were talking about the Vice President Harris's shortlist for running mates.
Yeah.
Based on your reporting, who's on the shortest of shortlists at this point?
Well, the shortlist is still quite long, is what my reporting tells me. We have two sources we've spoken to who are familiar with Harris's thinking, and they say that she hasn't narrowed the list down. It's about a dozen people. That decision will be made quite soon, though, and that the qualities she's looking for, among others, are executive experience and the ability to be a governing partner with her, as she sees herself as a governing partner with President Biden. That could be a lot of people, but it certainly points in the direction of governors who have executive experience.
All right. Well, Tamara Keith and Amy Walter, thanks as always.
You're welcome.